Today on Real Life Radio.
It doesn't say keep yourself in love with God. It says keep yourself in the love of God. How cool is that? The love of God is being poured out. Boom. It's like coming down. And if you're standing away from it, you're going, man, I'd like to have some of that. Then get in it, man. Get over to it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We have a newly featured resource for you, and it's written by one of the most influential spiritual leaders of our day, the late Charles Stanley. In his powerful book called The Gift of Forgiveness, Stanley shares the key to personal peace. And he tells us that there is no sin that is so evil that it blocks God's forgiveness, the gift of forgiveness. It reflects the heart of Stanley's ministry and addresses such questions and thoughts as to how to practice forgiveness in all your relationships and how to make forgiveness an ongoing experience in your life.
We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley. It's our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. All you got to do is go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And order your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Run Christian Run, Part 2. 1 Corinthians, of course, was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and it teaches us what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, in part one, we learned that to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to have our eyes wide open, running from this world and its influence by running towards God. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that to run towards God with our hearts fully engaged is to keep our hearts in the journey and guarding ourselves against compromise. Now, with his message called Run, Christian, Run, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus said to the person that's been given this much, he, during his lifetime, invests what I gave him, and at the end, this is what he gets back out of life. And so the person's applauded by the king when he returns. And then the next guy was given something, and he multiplied what his influences were. And then there was the third guy. Remember the third guy? The third guy is most of humanity. God gives him life and things and influences and abilities. And that guy says, wow, I don't want to blow any of this because there could be an end of life someday. And I don't want to be a total loser. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to bury it in the ground and just wait and really exist and not do anything until death comes. I'll play it safe. When it's time to sign up for something, I won't do it because I'm going to play it safe. When it comes time to go to Haiti and reach out to those broken people or to Japan, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to play it safe. When it comes to parting with part of my $100 bill to advance the gospel of God to the ends of the earth and to China and into Russia, I'm going to play it safe. And we have all of these arguments that sound really conservative on the surface, and God has been inviting you and I to be reckless regarding eternity. And we play it safe and we bury it in the ground. And Jesus said there's going to come a time when he comes back and he's going to say, okay, concerning the things I gave you in life, do you know how to ride a bicycle really good? Good. Did you do that to my glory? Are you a surfer? Did you do it to my glory? Are you a Wall Street banker? Did you do it to my glory? Whatever you do, he's going to ask a return of it. And if you pull it up from underneath the basket and say, Lord, I knew that when you'd come back, it could be a pretty scary day. So here's my life. Well, okay, but what did you do with it? I just preserved it. I didn't take any risk. I didn't serve anybody. I didn't do anything. I just went with the flow of normalcy. And here you go. You can have it back. And Jesus said, I don't want that. Who wants that thing? And he says in the parable, I will call forth the angels and they will take this person away. Why? What does that mean? It means that they never believed and trusted in God as they ought. They wasted their life. The Bible says this. How tragic is this? Judges 16:20. Remember Samson? Samson was a normal guy. You know that? Don't you think that Samson, in pictures, you've got this huge strapping dude. Who are you? Samson! And he just knocks people over. He's got 25-inch biceps and all. He looks like the Hulk. Not so. He looked like Barney Fife, I'm sure of it. You know who Barney, anybody know who that is? Why? Well, how do you know this? Because when the power of God came upon him, nobody expected such great power to come out of him. I think he looked kind of like, you know, a little bony guy. And the power of God came upon him, and Delilah's going, Samson, tell me what's the secret of your great power. Tell me. And she's petting his hair, and maybe his head's on her lap, and he's, you know, well. And he goes through that whole litany of stupid things he says to her, and then she says, as he's sleeping, Samson, wake up, the Philistines are upon you. And you can read, listen to this, Judges 16:20. And so Delilah said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, quote, I will go out as before, as other times, and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He wasted his life. And he jumps up and his power is gone. Why? Because he had disqualified his life. Did he still believe in God? Yes, of course. Did Paul still believe in God when he was concerned about being disqualified? Yes, of course. We talked last week how Moses believed in God. He's in heaven, Moses. David's in heaven. Samson's going to be in heaven. But to disqualify, remember, dear Moses never made it in. The Bible tells us, I want to encourage you, deciding to not waste your life. Write these verses down. They're very encouraging. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore Paul said, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that good news? Jude 24 says, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's encouraging. Colossians 1:21. Listen to this. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body, that is his offering, sacrifice, through death to present you holy in his presence. Without blemish and free from accusation. Wow. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which Paul says, I have become a servant. What an encouraging word. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 28, 29, Jesus said this, you are in my hands, you're in my Father's hands, and no one is able to snatch you out of our hands. Amen. That's encouraging. What you want to do is make sure that when you're running with your eyes wide open, that you're deciding right here, church, right now, from this moment on, I will not waste my life anymore. I will make that a priority of my life. Point number two today is this, jot it down. Verses 7 to 11 is this, run with your heart fully engaged. This is the big deal, in my opinion. This is amazing. Look at verse 7. And do not become idolaters as some of them. For as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. They didn't play volleyball. It was adult stuff. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them fell. The Bible tells us by the time the day was over, or by the time the plague was over, the judgment of God, it was a grand total of 24,000 people died from their sexual immorality that God said, don't do this. They rose up to play. Remember, they had the cloud of glory protecting them from the heat. They had the pillar of fire by night protecting them from their enemies. They had manna feeding them that had been deposited by God from heaven. They had water coming out of rocks when they were thirsty. They had Moses hearing from God, and they said, wow, when God talks to you, can you talk to him somewhere else? That's scary. They knew that. They heard that. They said, we don't want to hear that. That's freaking us out. They saw all that, and they still did not put faith in him. They had all these things. Church, mark this down. We need to learn this. Keeping your heart in the journey is the great challenge for us today. They went, listen, 11 days journey from Egypt to Kadesh Barnea. That would have been an 11-day journey. It took them 40 years and they still didn't make it in. Because of unbelief. The biggest challenge for us today as Christians is keeping your heart in the journey. Church, this is serious stuff. Because constantly there's things knocking on your attention meter to pull you away, to get you distracted. We live in a horrible age. Have you noticed young people today? They can't stay focused on anything for like 10 seconds. Constantly being pulled away. You know what? I don't know if it'd be such a bad idea if we lost our ability to have electrical power. What would we do? Don't make me read a book. Not a book. Could you imagine? We're so distracted and pulled. What does that matter? It matters this. It causes your heart to get off target, to get off point, to get off mission, to get off the journey. Your heart can be so easily weighed down with things. This is my identity. These kinds of hotels, those kinds of cars, this kind of clothes. Are those things sinful? No. Do we make them sinful? Yes. Why? Because our hearts. We don't keep our heart in the journey. The things of heaven no longer concern us. But they should. And God warns us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary at doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Listen, Christian, you need to circle around your heart in your life things that promote faith. This is critical. Endurance, you know, keeping our heart in the journey. Jesus said in the last days, is this not true? In Mark 13, 13, Jesus says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, technically, he spoke that to not only his believers, but regarding even his own people, the Jewish people in the last days. Well, number one, anti-Semitism is growing in the world and it's demonic. But listen, parallel to anti-Semitism, which is demonic, is anti-Christian attitude, which is demonic. Listen, I told you before, when I became a Christian in the 70s in Orange County, it was so cool to be a Christian. Everybody was a Christian. Now, you go out here and you stand on the street and say, praise God, I'm a Christian. And you better wear a helmet. It's a remarkable time. And Jesus said in the last days, people are gonna hate you for knowing him. And people are going to hate the Jewish people because God loves them. I'm telling you, it's demonic.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
You've got to keep your heart in this journey. Last Wednesday night, hey, were you here last Wednesday night? I'm really curious to see. Raise your hand if you were here Wednesday night. Don't lie now. You're in church? The place was packed. I don't know where people came from. I'm not kidding. I'm about a 200 people pastor church myself personally. I did everything I could to keep this thing from growing. Lisa knows. Those of you who are with us, you guys, you know. I tried to offend everybody I possibly could to have this thing not grow. And last Wednesday night, the place was just packed out. And I don't know how many people came forward, and it was just a precious time. It was neat to see people come forward, and they got on their knees, man. Some people were just flat out in front of Jesus, and it was a very cool time. And I had made it a point to stress to them, today's your first step in following Jesus. You don't become a Christian by saying, hey, that sounds cool. I'll do that. Yeah, sign me up. You don't do that. Becoming a Christian is your first step to following the Messiah of the universe, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the promised one of Israel and the Messiah of the world. You don't do that once. Now hear me out, please. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, it doesn't mean you do that every week. You know, Pastor, I need to come forward again. No, you don't. You meet him once, you follow him forever. Okay? Big difference, okay? You meet him, and now that you're with him, you follow him. This is the first step of a journey. And Christian, every one of us are somewhere en route on that journey. And it's vital you understand that I need to keep my heart close to God. Doesn't the scripture say that we're to keep ourselves in the love of God? Notice, wait, it doesn't say keep yourself in love with God. It says keep yourself in the love of God. How cool is that? The love of God is being poured out. Boom. It's like coming down. And if you're standing away from it, you're going, man, I'd like to have some of that. Then get in it, man. Get over to it. Step into it. It's there. It's flowing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. How awesome. Job in the Old Testament says, I know that my Redeemer lives. He says, I'm going to see God someday in my flesh. Job said that. David talked about knowing about the resurrection power that would come through the Messiah. Isaiah spoke about that in Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9. Solomon spoke about that in Proverbs 30. It's awesome. Keep your eyes on him. And look, quickly, you need one another. I know you hate this. You hate this. See, when we were a church of just 200 people, we were about 200 people for about 3 months. And what happened was people know each other. I don't think you should leave this building today until there's about 50 people right there. You guys should get one another's phone number. You say, oh, man, I hate that guy. You don't like that, huh? We don't like that. The Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling together. He says, be careful. Hebrews 10:25 says, be careful because in the last days, people are going to isolate themselves from one another. Just go to church. Just don't talk to me. Sit down. Praise the Lord. No! You can't do that. How can you love one another by doing that? You can't do that. You can't do that. That breeds apathy. It's dangerous because you're being indoctrinated, taught regarding the love of Christ, but you're not doing it. No, we need to know one another. Get one of those phone numbers, get to know one another. Again, everybody gets all tense with that now. Oh, gosh. So listen, today, leaving the sanctuary, somebody, you didn't get, hey, excuse me, I didn't get your number. I didn't get your number. Go after them. Get their name. Okay? Next thing is this, guard. Look at verses 9 to 10. Guarding your heart against compromise. He says, nor let us tempt Christ. Isn't this amazing? Paul is telling the church at Corinth. A Jewish convert to Christ is telling Greek converts to Christ that the children of Israel in the wilderness tempted Christ. They knew this in the Old Testament. As some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. The book of Numbers tells us about this. And they complained. He says, don't complain. As some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Yikes. You know who the destroyer is? This is horrific. Satan. Did you know that? Abaddon, Apollyon, Diablos, Satan. The Bible says he's actually real. He's a real person. He's a fallen angel, the fallen angel. And the Bible says that in their sin, remember Moses would say, God, don't judge them now because then Pharaoh will say that you led him out in the wilderness and you couldn't sustain them. Moses would say that on Monday because God would say, Moses, get out of the way. These people are rebellious. I'm going to kill them all. Moses would say, God, don't. And this is amazing, by the way. Jesus Christ is known as our intercessor. Moses said, God will raise up to you, Israel, a prophet like me, but him you will obey. That's a reference to Christ. Can you think of a greater leader that God has ever brought or shall bring than Moses? Only one. You say, yeah, but he was crucified 2,000 years ago. Of course he was. The Old Testament said he had to be. It also says he's coming back. And when he comes back, it says that not only will Israel listen to him, but the Gentiles who make him their hope, he will receive them. That's me, man. That's me. I'm a Gentile Portuguese nincompoop. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is of the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision has been of the heart, not by the hands of men, but by the hands of God, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Isn't that amazing? He's so good. Guarding your heart against compromise. The Bible tells us that they tempted Christ and that they complained. What does complain mean? Complain means complain. To gripe, whine. You have little kids, they're whining and griping. Get that verse. The destroyer is going to destroy you. No, just kidding. But the Bible does say that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And remember, the cause of death was unbelief. And Satan's the father of unbelief. You say, oh, where do you get that from? Genesis. Isn't that how he messed up our first mom? Yep. Hath God said, Eve? Is that what God said? You hear that? She says, God says we should not eat of that. And then he's so wickedly subtle and brilliant. Has God said? Just the question put the doubt in her mind. Think about it. Eve must have been so much like a little child. A little kid is just go for it, right? And all you have to do is say to a little kid who's like jumping off the edge of the pool into your arms, come on, jump. All right, come on, jump. Yeah, come on, jump. Boy, you better hope I don't drop you someday. Oh, man, what'd you say that for? Now the kid goes, hey, Satan does that kind of stuff. Oh, God loves everybody but you. Oh, he'll forgive everybody but you. He's a good devil. That's what he does. And then preparing. Verses 11 to 12. Run with your heart fully engaged, preparing your heart for the end. This is good news. What do you mean for the end? He says verses 11 to 12. Now, all these things happened factually, for real, actually happened to them as examples. The word we get is types. What happened to them actually is good teaching for us to learn from. And they were written for our admonition. Upon whom the ends of the age have come, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Take heed. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:1 says, he who is often rebuked hardens his neck, he will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So what are you saying? Prepare your heart for the end. That is, follow God. Take heed. Don't think that you can do this on your own. You need Christ. You can't save yourself, my friend. And Christian today, walking this walk in this life today, you were never designed to go it alone. These pressures of our lives today, Christ will be there. He will never leave us or forsake us, the Bible says.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Run, Christian, Run, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, you know now for these last 2 weeks this month, we've been praying for God's mercy and just want to remind you and encourage you to keep praying as we have just selected this month with you, our radio audience, our listening audience, that we would pray for God's mercy upon, well, I'm in America right now, so I'm asking God to have mercy upon America. You might be in Canada or Indonesia right now. You might be in Russia. Wherever you're listening, pray for your country. But I'm asking right now, Lord, we come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, we know that as a nation, we are far from you. We ask you, Lord God, to cause there to be an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in mercy that many might come to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord God, for the bad decisions our culture has taken.
that you would extend mercy. Lord, in your mercy, that you would give us a renewed hope, a renewed excitement for you to move in our midst. You're still on your throne. And Lord, the earth is your footstool, and we are here, your people. We're asking you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to do some mighty great work where we are at, that people might see the glory of God and in mercy hear the name of Jesus prayed, worshiped, and adored. For it's in his name we ask you, and all God's people said, amen.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.